Good morning. Welcome to this strange time in our culture as we gather online as a church family and hear from God's word. Just a little bit about what we'll be doing this morning is I'm going to just give a few announcements for our church family and what's going on with our church family, pray for our community and for our culture, and then we'll look at God's word as we continue our series, Joy Established in Jesus. Then at the end of my teaching, Pastor Mark is going to come up here, and we're going to just do a little Q&A from the Facebook live feed. So you can ask questions about the teaching. You can ask questions about things just going on in our culture. Not that I'm an expert anyway, but it'd just be good to interact in different ways. So just want to give you a few announcements that these are strange times. David said in the Psalms, Psalm 46, he says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The decisions we're making as a church family and staff and leadership are not based on fear, but they're based on wisdom because of what's going on in our culture to care for others. We're laying down our rights to gather for the betterment of ourselves and for our community, for the health of our community. So one of the things that's happening this week is we're shutting down our church campus here for the rest of the week for activities here, just as a precaution and wisdom. If you want information, you can continue to stay connected on our webpage, our Facebook page here, through email as well. And you can also download our app and continue to follow what's going on through our app as well. We also just want to encourage you during this time to continue to give to the mission here at Trinity, sent to love like Jesus. We still have ongoing operations and mission work going on, and we would love for you to continue to joyfully, generously, and give to the mission here. You can do that online on our website via the app, or you can mail in your giving as well. Also on your app, you can fill out your Connect card, a way to track attendance online or to send your request for prayer as well during this season. One of the things we want to do as a church is continue to care for one another. By the love we have for one another, they will know that we are his disciples. And part of the care of the church is us centralized care of you emailing in, calling in of the things that are going on, but also it's the reality of decentralized care. It's us loving one another, caring for one another, looking out for the needs of one another, those who are in maybe your class on Sunday morning, calling them, emailing them, those who are in your community group, those who are in your neighborhood. Let's just intentionally care for one another during this season. And we want to continue to communicate with you as much as possible. Things are changing quickly in our culture, and we're adjusting as things change, but we're also having a firm foundation in Christ during this. And one of the things that we are desperate is just to pray for God's wisdom during this season, for ourselves, but also for our leadership in our country and our city and our state. And so before we begin to look at God's word today, I would just like you to join with me in prayer. Praying for our president, praying for our governor, praying for our city officials, praying for our first responders, hospital administration, those who are making decisions to really care for our community. So join me in prayer, and then we'll look at God's word together. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now in a time of craziness and chaos, in a time that we are absolutely desperate for your provision and wisdom. Lord, we pray for President Trump and his administration, that you give them wisdom to make wise decisions to care for those in our country. We pray for our governor, that you would give him wisdom. Pray for our city officials. We pray for our superintendents to care for our children. We pray for first responders and hospital administration. Lord, we are at your mercy. During our time of need, we come to your throne room and we ask for wisdom, we ask for grace, we ask for mercy, how to live during this time. Not to live in fear, but to live in faith. How to live in wisdom and not to panic. Lord, we ask that you would bring a peace upon us that surpasses all understanding in the midst of our anxiousness and worry. Lord, I pray for those that are shut-ins. Lord, those who are in in-home care or in a nursing home that can't have visitors. Lord, I pray for them right now. We pray that you would give them hope. We pray that you would give them peace. We pray that they would be cared for well during this season. Lord, I pray that we would look not to our own interests, but the interest of others as a church family. May your church become what you intended it to be, a place of hope and love during seasons like this. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been joining us on our Sunday morning gatherings here at Trinity, we've been going through the book of Philippians, a series called Joy Established in Jesus. And we are actually going to stay in the book, but we're going to jump a chapter ahead and some passages that really address where we're at as a culture, to address our heart from God's very word, because we're in a time that people are panicking, and we have an opportunity in our hearts to choose panic or peace. Fear hits us all. We're not exempt from fear. The scriptures actually address how we as followers of Jesus, how we deal with our fear, how we take every thought captive. But how can we move the needle? How can we move in the journey from moving from fear to faith and trusting God more? How can we live wisely but not pridefully? How can we live wisely to lay down our rights, to care for the culture, to care for our loved ones, to care for our neighbors, and not be prideful and say, it's our right to meet, it's our duty to gather, but we can gather in different ways. But how do we, as followers of Jesus, continue to walk with Christ in this crisis? How do we have peace during this weird pandemic that's sweeping us globally as a world community? How do we have peace with our children? How do we have discussions with them? So join me this morning as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, where Paul addresses how we live in this path of peace. And this morning we're going to look at this big idea. We can walk in the path of peace during the pandemic. We can walk in this path, and it's not that we make this quantum leap to the end and we land at this utopia that we have continuous peace in our hearts all the time, but what's the path of peace? What are the steps daily, momentarily, conversations we can have with our family members about where our peace really resides? How do we walk that path in the daily realities and situations we find ourselves and will find ourselves in the days to come? So this morning, we're going to look at seven steps of the path of peace from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. So let's get started. We can walk in this path of peace during this pandemic. So let's look at it. Paul begins this section. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This has been a theme all through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Continue to rejoice in the Lord. Continue to have joy constantly despite the circumstances. What Paul is not saying is to have joy and excitement and be happy based on circumstances. Because if you remember, Paul writes this letter while he's in prison. Paul writes to a people that are dealing with difficult times and situations in their own town of Philippi. But two times, Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This is an emphatic command. And I think the principle that we glean from this is that we are to praise the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. How do we rejoice in him, not in our circumstances? So it's continuing to have our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith. It's continuing to focus on Jesus and say, how can we give praise for what he has done and is doing and the hope that is to come in Christ Jesus? And that will cause our hearts to rejoice. And specifically during this season of this coronavirus and this outbreak, how do we focus on Jesus who brings peace, the Prince of Peace? When Jesus was born, he was born into a culture that had chaos all around it because of Caesar. And Jesus was born into this world to be the Prince of Peace. So one of the paths or one of the steps on the path is that we would praise the Prince of Peace, that we are commanded to continue to praise him. And remember, Paul's not writing this because the circumstances he's in are easy. And the circumstances we are in currently, or the circumstances you've been in your life, will always be chaotic. They will ebb and flow. If we ride our lives on our emotions and circumstances, it's like riding a roller coaster or like a boat in the middle of ocean going up and down. What is the steady thing? What is the thing that is constant? What is the ballast for our souls and ballast for us to be praising him is Jesus, because he is our always hope. He is always in control. So a path towards peace is that we would be people that focus on Jesus and give thanks for who he is and what he's done and rejoice in that despite the circumstances we find ourselves in. So what can you do as an individual? What can you do as a family to rejoice in who Jesus is? what he has done and is doing and what he's promised for us as we move forward. Two, he goes on and says, let your reasonableness be known to everybody. This idea of reasonableness is really this idea of gentleness or considerate. And what he's saying is that we would be servants of all here for everyone. Let your gentleness or reasonableness be known to everyone. What Paul is saying here is that the posture of our heart would be to serve all. This has been a theme significantly through the book of Philippians. Paul has talked to us already about looking not only for our own interest, but to the interest of others, and that we would walk in the way of Jesus, being a servant of all. The posture of our heart during this season of chaos in the coronavirus, in our panic in the pandemic, is a posture of servant. To really find our life is to lose our life. The way of Jesus is to continue to say, how do I surrender my rights? How do I continue to lay down my life? To really find our life is not to self-protect, but to lay down our lives for others. And what Paul is saying, he says, let your gentleness, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. As followers of Jesus, is our gentleness, is our consideration during this season going to be a light to everyone? And this is one of the steps I really believe of peace, because the way our life was designed is to lay our lives out for others. So a question is, during this season, is what rights do you need to let go? Many times we could say, it's my right to gather as a church. Well, maybe why we're not gathering today is we're laying down our right to serve all, to serve everyone, for the health of those in our church family and also those in the health of our larger community of Lakeville and beyond. The opposite of having a posture that is serving all is a self-seeking heart. During the season, would we continue to not seek our own interests, but the interest of others, laying our lives out? Paul goes on and he says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. He says, the Lord is at hand. He is ever present with us. He's right here. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples. And then he says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came into every believer, and the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. Paul, in writing to the Romans, says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because he is ever present. The presence of God in you and with you always will bring peace. You know, it's like a little child. When they're kind of anxious and running around, and they lose track of the parents in a grocery store or in a clothing store, or even in a church building, they kind of are playing around, then they kind of grow frantic, and then they look for their parents, and then they go up and get to their knee. The same is true for us. We have a God who is our Father. And in our time of need, our time of anxiousness, and time of the pandemic, and wondering what's going on, we have an ever-present Father who is with us. He's not in some far-off temple that we have to go to. He's not in a church building. He's not in a foreign country. But he's ever present with us. He is omnipresent, but most specifically, he resides in us in the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. It is what gives us a life that is fearless. Because his presence is with us always, we can be comforted. Because his presence is with us, we can be secure and we can find rest. Just like a little child, when they kind of panic and don't know where their dad or mom is and frantically look for them, and their heart grows anxious in those moments. During this season, our hearts can grow anxious. They can grow weary. But friends, the presence of God is in you and with you always. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. The passage goes on. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This is the idea. He's saying, continue to pray. What we see here is that we are to press into Jesus in prayer about everything. He says, don't be anxious. Man, that is hard. And actually, it's a command of God here. I am a person who grows anxious. It's part of what I deal with in life. It's kind of my thorn in my flesh of worry and anxiety. I genuinely, in even normal seasons of life, will have difficulty falling asleep. I've actually gone to a counselor to deal with my anxiety and my worry and fears in life that race through my mind. My mind at times is like a three-ring circus, and I'm trying to say, try to settle down all the three rings, but my mind races because I'm anxious. And my anxiety is really rooted in the reality is I don't trust that God is near. The reality of my anxiousness and worry is because I don't think God is always in control. I don't overtly believe that or state that, but I live my life in such a way, and if I would peel back the layers of the onion of my heart, and I would see that my true reality of my heart is a lack of trust, a lack of knowing God is in control. And if we realize that God is at hand, he is in control of all things, he's the Alpha and the Omega, it frees us to live a life free of anxiety. Jesus knows that we're anxious. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks specifically about worry and anxiety and to trust him with the little things of where our food and clothes will and to seek first his kingdom. But it's all around us. But what do we do with our anxious thoughts? Well, specifically, if we would go back, he says, in everything, but about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that we would be people that pray. And prayer is not this always formal thing. It is a communication with God. It is listening to God, but specifically he's saying prayer and supplication, crying out to God. God, these are my anxious thoughts. I need your help. Guide me in your ways, Lord. And he says in everything. So this isn't just prayer when things are going well, prayer when we're just thinking about God. But in prayer and supplication, in everything, the God of the universe is a Father who wants our anxious thoughts. Read the Psalms and you see the anxious thoughts and wonderings of David in the Psalter saying, God, where are you? When will this end? I feel like I'm drowning right now. And in our anxiety, he says, in everything, cry out to him. Prayer is merely communicating with the God of the universe who is our Father. The writer of Hebrews says, we come with boldness and confidence into his throne room in our time of need to receive grace and mercy. And specifically during this season of wonderment and worry of what's going on in our culture and even around us, it is a time of need. So would we be a people in everything praying to him, asking for wisdom, but also giving him our worries? And what should frame our prayer with thanksgiving? Let your request be known. So yes, we cry out, but we're also people that are absolutely thankful. Like the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It begins with this adoration and confidence and thankfulness of who God is. So even during this season, as we're praying, we're pressing into Jesus in prayer about everything, we need to be people that are thankful. A thankful heart is a good heart. A thankful heart is a good attitude. Being thankful for, man, God has redeemed and rescued us. God has put his spirit in us, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of wisdom, of comfort and of love. So what would it look like, even as your family today, to spend some time giving thanks for what God has provided in prayer? Listening to your kids and saying, what are your worries? What are your wonderments? And then praying those with your children. May we be people who press into Jesus in prayer for everything. And that is one of the steps that we have towards peace. Let us know your requests through the email, but also let us pray for one another in a decentralized way. The passage goes on. It says, as we pray, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. As we press into him, as we commune with him, the results are, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This idea of peace, it comes from the root word of the Hebrew word shalom. And the idea is the world and everything around us is broken and fractured, like broken pieces of pottery, like a mosaic pieces laid out. And what God says, I want to bring peace. I want to take all the broken pieces. I want to take all the clutter of your life, even though it looks like a mess, and I want to bring it to wholeness. And that peace is a rest of our hearts that he is in control, that he's the beginning and the end. Nothing has slipped through his hands. This is not a surprise to him. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's this idea that we can't comprehend it, but we can know it. Peace will guard your heart and mind. The opposite of peace is panic. So if you are panicked in the midst of this pressure of the pandemic, run to him in prayer in your time of need. He will give you grace and he will give you mercy. And this idea that it will guard our heart is like a military term. Going back to the passage, he says, will guard your heart. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Man, you see military people, you see like in England, you see the soldiers outside of the palace and they're guarding the palace. They're standing guard. And the God of the universe, he wants to give you this peace because he knows our hearts and minds race over and over and about situations. What if this happens? What if this happens? What will that, what will we do when this, when that, what happened? And our mind goes on and on and on and spirals into a vortex that we are trying to figure out life. We're trying to be secure. We're trying to control. And man, I want someone to step in and say, I got it. I'm going to take care of this. And the God of the universe on this path of peace says, I'm going to step in. When you press into me, I guarantee my spirit will put a protective wall and guide you and guard your heart and your mind during this season. Why does our heart need to be guarded? I love that God says, I will guard your heart, because he knows we need help. And he acknowledges that. He acknowledges that where you're at with anxiety and fear, you need peace. And I know you're there. Let me guide you to the place of peace, to the place that I will guard your heart. And that's by pressing into me in prayer, communing with me, and crying out to me. See, God wants us to walk this path of peace. And he goes on in this passage and he says this, finally, brothers, and I would say sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things. He goes through this list and then he says, think about such things. What is your mind set on? What is your mind racing through? What captivates your hearts these days? It's probably what you are consuming. It's your heart is and your mind is captivated by watching the news. Your mind is captivated by your Facebook feed. Your mind is captivated by what's going on all around us. But he says, think about such things. What are you and I thinking about during this time? What is racing through our mind? What is the videotape that's playing over and over? What's the song that's playing over and over? What are we meditating on? What's stewing in our mind during this season? God of the universe knows our mind goes through these things, and he says, think about such things. What does he say? If we would go back, he would say, think about what is true, not what is false. God is true. Think about what is honorable, what is worthy of respect, what is good, what is not trivial, what is just, what is lovely, what is commendable. If there's anything excellent, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Is there anything excellent? Yes. God is good. Is there anything worthy of praise? Yes, there is. Not maybe in the circumstances, but in who God is and what he's doing. You know, A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What are you thinking about when it comes to God? What's racing through your mind? I think the path of peace, the thing is, point your mind to the kingdom of God. Point your mind to the kingdom of God. These are the attributes, not fully, of the kingdom of God. What is true? What is honorable? What is pleasing? Is there things that are excellent? Are there things that are praiseworthy? Are there things that are lovely and pure? What would it look like for our minds to be captivated by those things, to be captivated of what the kingdom of God looks like? What's in your mind? What's racing through your mind? during this time of panic of the pandemic and the crisis of Corona. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he says this, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." He's saying, think about these things. The Spirit wants to renew our mind, continue to transform our mind to think about these things, because in our mind is what drives our motivation, it drives our manner of life and our morals. It is the rudder that guides us, our mind and our hearts. So what are we thinking about? The passage goes on and says this. Paul says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Earlier in the book, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So what he's saying here, look what he says. What you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard and seen in me, practice these things. What he's really saying, as he said earlier in the book, follow me as I follow Christ. So for us, as we live our lives in this chaotic time, we need to be practicing or practice the life of Jesus. So we need to go back and say, what are we learning about Jesus? What is the life of Jesus? How did he respond in moments of people in need? How did he move towards us in our time of need? We need to continue on the path of being a disciple that is learning to live like Jesus. What have we learned about Jesus? What have we received from Jesus? We've received peace. We've received comfort. We've received security. We've received an identity. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We've received an eternal sonship or daughtership. We've received eternal life. We've received the gifts of grace in us. We've received the confidence and power of the Holy Spirit to live out Jesus. What have we heard and seen? Maybe the path of peace is for you to go back to the Gospels and to read them over and to think through, what am I learning about Jesus? What have we received from Jesus? What am I hearing from Jesus? And what am I seeing about Jesus? And not just know it, but put it into practice. Because our lives were designed to walk on this path of peace. Our lives were designed to walk in a relation with God and obedience to him. And we walk in this path in the ways of Jesus. That's the path of peace. It surpasses all understanding. So if we go back and he says, "And the God of peace will be with you." So if we go back to the big idea today, we can walk in the path of peace during this pandemic. We've kind of walked through 7 steps this morning. They'll be posted online, and these are not exact steps, but I hope that as you have looked through these, maybe one of these 7 things this morning from this passage has specifically ministered to your soul, has encouraged your soul. Lord, we live in a time right this moment that we don't know what's going to happen the next 12 or 24 hours. We don't know if we're going to be shut down in our houses. We don't know what's going to happen to loved ones in nursing homes and assisted living. We don't know what's going to happen to our children in school. We don't know if this virus is going to hit us personally or to those surrounding us. We don't know what's going to happen on the news or what's going to happen on the world around us. And there's going to be panic. There's going to be worry. There's going to be anxiety. And I hope that you would return back to Jesus. I hope that you would maybe return back to this passage for guidance to say, how do we have peace? How do we walk a path of peace in the next hour, the next 12 hours, the next 24 hours, the next 4 to 6 weeks and beyond? So I hope this passage has ministered to you this morning. And you can ask your questions online right now about maybe this passage or what's going on in the world around us. And after I pray in just a moment, Pastor Mark will come up with me and we'll begin to walk through some of these questions. So join me in prayer right now. Lord, we are so thankful that you're a good God. We're thankful that you love us and care for us. And Lord, we confess that we are people who worry and are anxious. And we want to turn from our worry to finding rest in you. We want to turn from our anxiety that fractures our hearts and minds to finding peace. So Lord, we come to you in our time of need. We ask that you would give us wisdom. We ask that you would give us comfort. We ask that you would give us love and peace and patience and kindness. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to take every thought captive that races through our hearts and minds, because you're a good God. You love us and you care for us. Lord, I pray that your church, the people of God, would walk in your ways, that we would listen to you, that we would run to you in our time of need, that we would be people that pray for ourselves and pray for our families and intentionally pray for our neighbors. Lord, give us confidence, give us courage, give us grace as we walk in these days. And by the love that we have for one another, may the world know that you are a true God. By our rest in you during a restless time, may people know that we find hope in you. In the midst of panic and this pandemic, help us to find a peace that surpasses all understanding and finds rest for our souls. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I invite Pastor Mark to come up, and we're just going to do a little Q&A about some of the things that we've talked about this morning. So you can type in your questions in the Facebook feed. Some of those questions maybe have already come forth, and we're just going to have a little dialogue. I am not an expert. I'm not a medical expert. I'm not a Bible expert. I am literally just a guy who's called to be a pastor, to care for God's people, to lead them towards him, and to lead a movement of disciples making disciples sent to love like Jesus in Lakeville and beyond. So we're just going to dialogue about some of these things. So, Mark, are there some things that have come through that we could dialogue just a little bit about?
Not yet.
Okay.
But that's okay. Yeah. So maybe there's just a few second lag that I heard, so we can see if there's any that are coming through yet.
Mark, you've got two little girls.
Yes.
And they're really probably not even in the mindset to even know about what's going on, mm-hmm. because they're such... What are the age of your daughters?
3 and 1.
So 3 and 1. Yeah, yeah. They're not really watching the news like my boys and mm-hmm. wondering.
Yeah.
But as a father, what's been your heart and what has been your prayer as you've processed this time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I definitely, for my kids, because they're so young, as you said, just to try and... have fun with them, you know, play with them. It could be easy to, Frozen 2 is coming on Disney Plus tonight, actually. Maybe we will watch that, but we don't want to rely on those things completely. So, but just to have fun with them, trying to keep things kind of light and fun. And in a lot of ways, because they're so young, they're not going to really know what's going on. But for others, I think my heart and prayer is that our kids and our families would just seek the Lord together. Yeah. As you were saying, you know, with anxiety and those kind of things that kids can begin to develop as they see questions, and maybe they go to Walmart or go to the store or whatever, and they see that there's a lot of empty shelves, yeah. you know, to calm their nerves and to be, you know, and just to reassure them that who's on the throne, who's sovereign in those times. So, yeah. I don't have all the answers, as you said, but just to be present for them and to try and have fun too, whatever that looks like with social distancing and those kind of things, but to just have fun as a family, play games, laugh, yeah. Cry if need be, but and pray as well. So
yeah, one of the things, people are going to be binging on Netflix and Hulu and all that. Just one of the great resources we have here at Trinity is Right Now Media. And so there's some great resources there. So let's be intentional about using our time if we're locked in. One of the things my family and my boys are going through, we're going through a series by Larry Osborne about living in Babylon, just how do we live in a post-Christian culture. And we've been watching those videos together as a family, kind of leading up to this pandemic, but not because of it. But I think leverage that as a resource as well. Anything come in?
Yeah, let's see. Yes, we do have a question from Joanna. It says here, how can we support the older community of our church and around? Great question.
Yeah, how do we support our older population of our church? We are a multi-generational church. And if you're watching the news and reading stuff, the reality of those who are 16 above have a higher percentage death rate or to be infected significantly by this. So one, I think, Mark, is really the social distancing. Let's just be wise with that. Mm-hmm. I'm a hugger. Some of our staff aren't huggers. Mark and I kind of hug. Nick in the back there right now, he's like, social distancing, he's really good for that. But let's just be wise. Social distancing, we also want to, if you know of anybody within our faith community that is older, then reach out to them to say, how are you doing? Are there things that you need? We don't want to be centralized in our care, but we know there's some things that emails and phone calls will come through us. But we God's designed the church to be decentralized, to care for one another. You know, this is ever evolving. Maybe if you know somebody that's in a nursing home, I've seen this on the news, people are going to the windows, you know, giving them signs. You know, maybe those are things that we could go to a nursing home or assisted living and just hold up signs that God loves you or just you're not forgotten because they're shut in there. So we will continue to communicate if there's significant needs, but we're also just want to say you care for people as well.
Yeah. And I think I saw, and I maybe need to do some research on this, but we're just kind of thinking out loud a little bit about this, is Meals on Wheels is a big thing that they need a lot of volunteers to kind of go and deliver meals to those elderly. And so that could be something to look into. I believe, let's see, that we did get another question. Let's see, can we drop off dry goods off at church? I understand the caution being put forth. And social distancing, just want to know what we can do. So that's kind of a follow-up to that.
Yeah, we all want something to do. I mean, it's just our nature, and that's so good. These are great questions. Right now, we are collecting food specifically for the food pantry at Lakeville South High School. So we've had that list, and if you need that list of specific goods to help stock their shelves, we would love for you to drop off those goods. You could leave them outside the door, and then we'll bring them in and put them in the box. But right now, don't bring kind of toilet paper, don't bring dry goods specifically to the church building, except apart from the list that we're collecting for Lakeville South, because we just don't have a place for them. We don't know what to do with them. If we know there's a specific need, we will let you know. We will mobilize the body of Christ as soon as possible if we know there's specific things. But right now, it would be more of an administrative difficulty for us to receive things because we want to listen. If you've been part of Trinity for this past year, we went through the Bless series and begin with prayer, and we want to listen. Listen to your neighbors. Listen to what's going on in culture. Listen to what's going on, because we just don't want to presume there's a need. We want to meet the need. Jesus listened to people. He cared for people and met the specific need that was going on. So as we continue to listen, and as you listen, we'll take steps forward to be the body of Christ, to be the people of God, to love for the people around us.
Great. So we do have a few more questions and a comment. So let me see, as the comments are going through, it kind of bumps everything up. So I got to find them again in the right order. Let's see. Thanks for the encouragement. This is Judy about how to use the time. Is there an opportunity for others to sign up for the prayer requests if one is not already on that list?
So yeah, in our emails currently, and right now Nick will post the email address for you to send in your prayer request, and we will continue to be publishing those ones that are private. So you can send your prayer request in, and then you can also request to be part of that email list as well if you email that and say, hey, we'd love to receive the prayer request so we know what to pray for. Right. It's also been in the email communication that we've been sending out as well the past few days.
This is a good comment, good reminder. Remember our families who rely on the school for breakfast and lunch. If schools close, these meals are no longer available. So that's just a good reminder.
Yeah, that was significant. As I was watching the news this week, and Seattle Public Schools was one of the first schools to shut down, and their greatest concern was not the education, which is really important for their children, but what was the social services that school systems offer, or is the channel for social services to children that are in need. So we have a good communication, or we have a good relationship with the local schools. I really think that is a significant one, because there are kids that are dependent upon the breakfasts, dependent upon the lunches. And I know that's a significant thought process for the public schools, and we would do anything we can to join them in doing that. So whether that would be us creating bags that people could pick up, maybe that would be an idea if really everything shuts down for families, for kids that are in need of meals. So yeah, significant, great question, and continue to be aware. And that's something that is potentially on the horizon for us to be active in. Possibly.
Yeah, for sure. And then Judy asks, will the food drive timing be adjusted?
Food drive for the high school, no clue. Everything is changing by the moment. And so we'll let you know. They might not even want to receive the items because of the touching and the handling. We'll just see. So we'll continue to collect what's needed for the students at Lakeville South and the food pantry that's there, and then we will wait and see what they tell us to do with those items. But that's through the whole month of March as well.
Yep. And Brian, he asked this question, a question on behalf of my father-in-law, Larry, who's not on Facebook. These commands are good to hear and be encouraged to follow. How do we translate this knowledge into action? Basically, to translate good intentions into real life.
Yeah, so the commands that are here, you know, that Paul has for us, or Jesus has for us, you know, rejoice always. I think the action step is, how do you wake up daily and be a person that rejoices in who God is and what he has done and is doing and will do? By looking into the scriptures, pressing into the story of God, looking how he's always cared for us and was always there, and thanking him for who he is. And then how do we be people of prayer, that in our own life, that we're connecting with God? Like, if you're married or you've got kids, you're in a relationship with them. Your kids love you. They cry out to you both in the good and the bad. And so look at the model of your kids, that they, you know, like, you've got a one-year-old crying out for food at times. I've got teenagers crying out for screen time, you know. But that is the posture of us, that the practical steps for us as children of God, that we're crying out and going into his throne room in our time of need. And he says, I will guard your hearts. So let's move towards God in prayer and supplication in our time of need, and peace will guard us. And then what do we think about? Like, being in God's word and thinking about those things, that when Paul, over and over, we see that we would meditate on God's word day and night. It's what's ruminating in our hearts and mind. What is the, you know, like back in the day when people woke up to the clock radio, do you remember that, you know?
Vaguely, yeah.
Vaguely, yeah. Show my age. But people wake up to a song and it plays over and over in the heart. They just can't get it out of their head. What if God's promises were like that? That's the practical step. And then, you know, then he says, what is, and then practice these things. It's not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do, by looking at him, learning from him, watching him, and receiving him. So I think those are the practical things from this text today.
Yeah, I think it's easy for all of us to be, and we should be informed about what's going on, but we could just almost dwell on the news, or what does this news station say this, and then you could just spend hours really doing that, when it could just, you know, build up our anxiety. Instead, let's also look at God's word.
Yeah, and I think another practical thing, apart from maybe this text exactly, but is that in action right now, taking social distancing and, you know, isolating ourselves or others that are potentially sick or that danger, like, that is the practical step. Like, laying down our rights to publicly gather or to go into a concert or to do things, that actually is what the church is. We're living as a church then. Mm-hmm. We're surrendering our rights. We're laying down our lives for the betterment of others. So,
great. Another question that we have from Brian: how can we be praying for the church staff? Anything specific?
That's a good question. I would say that you pray for wisdom. We're in this with you. I didn't learn this in seminary. I know Jesus. I know people. And everything is changing instantly. We were planning to go live probably next week, not this week, but when the governor said we can't gather in 250 or more, or we shouldn't, we said, let's go. Let's do this. So pray for wisdom. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and this isn't... this is just stewardship. If you're part of the Trinity family, you know that we've gone through a difficult season of financials, so we would just encourage those who are part of the Trinity family to continue to give joyfully, generously, and sacrificially to the mission here. Online, set that up, regular giving, or mail that in. We would be encouraged by that. Sending notes, emailing, encouraging us. Mm-hmm. And we are appropriately going towards people that have the wisdom and medical means during this season. So pray, words of encouragement would be great.
Yeah, great. And during this time, during your sermon, Governor announced that the school will be closed Wednesday.
Yeah, I just got that from my kids.
Yeah, so hoping schools can remain open for childcare for healthcare workers and buses to deliver meals. As a church, how can we support our community? since now the schools are going to be closed as of Wednesday, I believe. What are those dates? Maybe you're
so looking So we've got Monday and Tuesday. So Wednesday, literally, I said, by the moment, things are changing. So the governor, as we're talking, I was like sending texts through my kids, my wife, Nick in the back. Governor shut down schools starting Wednesday. Most schools hit spring break already on Friday this week. And so what was the, I don't know the.
Yeah, how can we support the community?
That's a good question. I think being obedient to the strong suggestions of our government is what we're called to do. I think that is the wise thing. It would be prideful and arrogant as followers of Jesus, I believe, to say, I don't need to do that. If health officials and those who have God has placed over us in authority, and there is a pattern that has been set forth both in Italy and the UK and overseas, we need to be wise. So what can we do is we need to be obedient to what officials are saying to us. That's how we're going to care for the community. Mm-hmm. So many of us want to do stuff, but the best way to care is actually isolation right now, it seems. Mm-hmm. And being wise and washing our hands and being wise about around the people we gather with and social distancing. So mm-hmm. These are things that are just happening literally right now. So, and prayer is not a trite thing, but it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. We believe He holds it all together. And so let's continue to press into Him in prayer, and we will continue to listen to what's going on and make wise decisions of how to bless the community. But friends, we are the body of Christ. Don't wait for us in the church building to tell you what to do. If you know a practical need, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah. You don't need permission to walk in the wisdom and obedience of God in your neighborhood or on your workplace. You know, give people words of encouragement. We're social distancing. We have technology. Just encourage people through texting, through Facebook. Let's be wise on social media. Let's give hope to people instead of scare people or divide people. Mm-hmm. So what is our role? Our role is if the God of the universe is the peace of God that came down and transcended time and entered into his time, and we now are the manifestation of Jesus Christ, if we have peace and wholeness and rest in him, let's show that. Let's mm-hmm. share that. We are the priesthood of believers. And this is exactly God's intention for the church. Just as this thing has spread like a virus, he intends the gospel to spread like a virus. Mm-hmm. And so we have that opportunity to walk in the ways Jesus designed the church to be decentralized and see the show and share the love of God in every nook and cranny, both in the organization of big things that are going on in our culture, but in the little things. So go. You are sent to love like Jesus during this time. Don't wait for the big thing to do, but do it in the little things with your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers with intentionality.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And share those things. You know, we'd love to hear those stories too. That would be amazing to see what God is doing in and through you guys, whether you email us or you can share that on our Facebook group, the Trinity Family Online Facebook group. Just love to see what God is doing through our Trinity family.
Yeah, join the family Facebook group. That's a great place for us to continue to communicate. Yeah, share what you did, even if it's a little thing, or, hey, I'm thinking about doing this in my neighborhood, or this is what I posted online. We are going to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So share the ideas. We're bragging on God and what he's doing and the wisdom he's giving us to love the world. So don't hesitate to share how God is using you or ideas that you are implementing during the season.
Yeah, that's great. You have time for another question, or how are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're good. You know, people are locked in their houses right now. So
okay. No. Okay, let's see. So this is a good question for you, Kevin. So what would you say to someone who asks, why does the Lord allow this if he loves us? That's a good question.
Great question. Why does God allow these things to happen? It really comes down to a great understanding of the narrative, Mark, of God's story. Mm-hmm. God created the world perfect and glorious in harmony with him, man with him, and creation with him in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But when we rebelled against him, sin entered the world and corrupted everything. Mm-hmm. It broke our relationship vertically with God himself and broke our relationship horizontally with other human beings. And God kicked us out of the garden. And he said, I am holy and you are unholy. And what we have in the rest of the narrative of God showing us a story to bring us back to himself. Mm-hmm. And because of sin entered the world, it caused a disruption in everything and in the world. Paul writing to the Romans, Romans chapter 8 says, all of creation is groaning. Mm-hmm. And so the result of our sin and rebellion against God has caused broken relation with him and others and the world order. And it's not because of specific a sin that this pandemic is happening, but it's because the world is broken and fractured. And Paul writing to the Romans chapter 8 says, I'm going to renew all things. The hope in Revelation is that there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more disease that would be going on. Let me just do this so we don't have like my MacBook. There we go. Showing up. And so why does God allow horrible things to happen? It's what if part of it was suffering brings us back to him. All through the scriptures, God takes us through trials and difficulties, the desert situations, the valleys, to bring us back to him, to bring us back to dependency upon him. So I am not in a position to say, this is why Corona 19 is happening. Yeah. But I do say, let's look at why sickness and brokenness is in the world and the hope of Christ that will redeem and rescue all those things. But in the midst of that, he wants us to press into him. Do you have any other thoughts about that besides quick?
No, that sounds really good. And I think when we see these things, it's a reminder that we long for someone to make things right or to bring healing, to bring hope. And then we go to, hopefully, to God, to Jesus in those times. Because as you said in Romans 8 and creation groaning, waiting to obtain the redemption of the children of God. And then also this new heavens and new earth that's going to come where God is going to make all things anew. We long for that. And I think this is evidence that we're not there yet. But yet there is hope in Jesus even now as we can experience his life, his eternal life now and forever. So those are, I love what you said. And I just see this brokenness and decay. And it's a reminder that I long for our Creator to make things anew again.
Yeah. And there's hope. You know, and Paul says, or not Paul, Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, about don't be anxious, but think about the kingdom of God. And so during this time, it's like we're aliens and strangers in this world. This world is not our home. The scriptures are clear that our body is a tent and vessel, that it will broken and decay, but we have hope in the resurrections of Christ because he's risen from the grave. So how about one or two more are coming through?
Let's see. Now, people are being very encouraging. You know, we are the church. You know, Jennifer says, I'm excited to see how God will use this for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom. Such a huge opportunity to love on others. So just really cool to see those kind of comments. So thank you so much for sharing those. I'm just getting just excited and just overwhelmed by how you are all seeing this as an opportunity to show and share the love of Jesus. So that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. So with this news, literally, of things, the schools shut down on Wednesday, more than likely we will not gather again next Sunday. We'll have another format like this or do a recording of a message. But because of that, because most of us will be in our homes, most of us will be consuming media, watching the news, watching video, I think it's going to probably be appropriate for us to engage you as our church family more and more through social media, through video posting. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to bombard you with emails. We don't want to bombard you with social media. Yet, we're all listening to something.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're all watching our news station. We're all reading our blogs. We're all consuming social media. So I think our voice is part of your care team and your leadership. Our voice, we want our voice to be heard. Not because our voice is important, but because we want to bring hope and encouragement and ideas. So we'll be brainstorming ideas, whether that's daily devotions or more and more content or engagement of watch parties, just to communicate with one another in the coming days and weeks. More than likely, we will not gather next Sunday. If the schools are literally shut down, we will probably be shut down in this gathering as well, because I think it's the wise thing. Again, yeah. I'm not fearful. I'm not leading out of fear. We're not leading out of fear. We're leading out of wisdom for the good of our world, because God is for us, and we want to be for the world around us too. And if that's doing this, that's the wise thing to do.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And with that, you know, for our Trinity Student Ministry, we've been posting during this Lent season leading up to Easter daily devotion. So you can definitely see that tonight. We'll post on our Instagram and on our Facebook a video message from me from Hebrews 4:14-16, just help when we need it most. You know, I just love that passage, and we'll share a short message on that. Also, our kids ministry, an email I believe Cindy sent out letting you guys know about this live stream. There's some information there for video messages, discussion questions for our families, just some tools to talk about your faith, to talk about what we would have taught on Sunday morning here with your kids. And then we'll look for other ways to connect with you, as you said, through social media and email and those kind of things.
Yeah. So we're so thankful that you have gathered in your living room or wherever you're at this morning. And the God of the universe, if you're a follower of Jesus, does not want you to have a posture of fear. But many of us are fearful. So what's a step towards peace? What's a step towards hope? And I hope this passage has led you towards that. And I hope this dialogue has been helpful for you as well. We're in this together. May we continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus came into this world to show love, and he sent his disciples in this world to show love. And so we are all sent now, literally. So if you're in a community group, we don't know if we're going to encourage community groups to meet or not because of social distancing. But I would say if you're in a community group, maybe have a watch party or communicate, text, let's care for one another. This is an opportunity to be what God intended for us as a church to be. We're sent to love like Jesus. Let me just end our time with prayer. Let's pray together.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm thankful for just the encouragement that's coming through the text and the messages. We're thankful for your word that speaks into situations like this right now. And Lord, some of us wrestle with, why do these things happen? Help us journey towards trusting you more, seeing that you hold all things together. And this isn't a surprise, but actually is part of why creation is longing and groaning, and we long for that hope that is in Christ Jesus because of the brokenness of the world around us. So Lord, do a continuous work in our own lives as followers of Jesus, so we might show and share the love of Christ, that we would be the hands and feet of hope, that we would be the hands and feet of peace, that we would be the hands and feet of love, we would be the hands and feet of self-sacrifice for the good of others. Give us wisdom in these coming days. Lord, I pray just for parents right now as they shepherd their children and care for them. Lord, help them to be honest. Help them to bring scripture to mind. Help us as a team, pastoral team and elders, to point people to you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you just give us wisdom. We are desperate for you. Help us to take every thought captive that is not of you. Help us to think about what is good and right and holy and pleasing to you. And help us to practice the ways of Jesus during the season. Help us to press into you in prayer so our hearts might be guarded from anxious and worry, and that peace would saturate our hearts and minds and souls. And may we be people who rejoice in you, that this isn't a surprise. We rejoice that you care for us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and that to live as Christ is a desire is gain, because we are constantly in communion with you. Lord, do a new work in us and refine us during this season. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Permeate your peace through our hearts, minds, and souls, so it might guard our worry and anxious hearts in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, it was great to be with you. We will be in communication with you continually during this season. We love you. Stay tuned.